Welcome to the PA Podcast. I recently had the pleasure to speak with one of my comedy idols, Craig Shoemaker. Give a listen.
So, Craig, you grew up in Philly.
Yep.
Yeah, and
on the corner of Crack and Homeless there in
crack
Philadelphia.
And homeless. Okay.
That's right. The kind of humble beginnings. I used to think the word evict meant move. Like, mommy, here's the eviction truck. We used to get evicted all the time, and I still keep a box packed in my house. Even though I've been in this house for a while, I still have that feeling that won't go away, that they're coming for me.
Oh, really?
I feel that way when I have good seats at the ballpark. When I was a kid, I used to sneak down to the lower level, you know, for the last three innings or something, and you're constantly looking for the security. I'm still spending my life like that.
It affects you that way. Yeah, it's like,
mm-hmm.
Must have been a good life, though.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't. It's funny you should say that. My son asked me if you could do it all over again. He asked me last night, if he goes, what would you do differently? I said, I wouldn't change anything because, you know, the life that I have now is just—it's so brilliant and magnificent, and I wouldn't be able to compare it to anything. You know, where I come from is, you know, a lot of pain and grief, and now it's such an appreciation and a gratitude for it. And I was trying to, you know, basically teach him that lesson yesterday. He was asking me if I said I have no regrets. Even, you know, I was kidnapped when I was a kid, and you know, that just makes me a better person. And I get to be a better dad.
Exactly. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent lesson for your son. That's great. So, what compelled you to be a comedian? What drove you to being funny?
I really do think it was almost like a natural progression. You know, the way I grew up, we used to look for humor, and I'm still finding the funny to this day.
Me too.
We had a tough time, you know, growing up. And my mom, I remember we'd sit and watch Hollywood Squares, and we'd laugh together. And it got to the point where I said, well, maybe Paul Lynn. I read that Paul Lynn was single in Parade magazine, so I wrote him a couple letters to fix him up with my mother. And you know, I didn't know why he was single. For Paul Lynn with the ascot. but he was happy. Hello. And my whole goal in life, he never wrote me back. My whole goal in life, though, is that the divine intervention happens in a very late way, where I was, I ended up on Hollywood Squares. I was never the center square, though. I used to think we would be the first father and son team on the Hollywood Squares. You know, like, I'd like Craig and Paul Lynn for the win, please. You take this one, son. This one's yours, Dad. And I had no idea, you know, what he was really like in real life. But it was cool being on Hollywood Squares. I had such, you know, strong memories of being a child. And how do you get in those squares? I remember when I wrote him the letters, I would say, you know, how do you get in those squares? Is Tony Field's leg really wooden? I'd like ask him all these questions.
Exactly.
He never wrote me back. You know, I put my mother's photo in there. Apparently, maybe I should have put mine.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. That's funny. That's funny. How was your first time on stage as a stand-up? What was that like? Your very first time? Can you talk about
that? I kept doing the class clown thing, and I'd always make people laugh, and then I worked in a law firm, and this guy was a musician, and I would crack him up in the lunchroom, and I'd imitate the lawyers and the mailmen and stuff, and he said, man, why don't you should try stand-up comedy? And he says, I'm performing why don't you perform between sets of my band? I said, okay. I didn't even know what I was doing. I didn't know anything about stand-up at the time. And I went there. It was 3:00 in the afternoon. It was probably 112 degrees in the worst section of Philadelphia. And I got up and I brought a guitar on stage. I don't even know how to play guitar, but I knew a few chords from the John Denver Handbook. I did Leaving on a Jet Plane as different celebrities. I did, that was my first act. I do Richard Nixon. Oh, my tapes are packed and I'm ready to go. I got a couple chuckles and I was hooked. It was like my first hit on a crack pipe. It was over after that. And I've been addicted ever since. And I just became friends with that guy, by the way, on Facebook. I haven't seen him since then. And, that was what started the whole career. I would tell like a joke, like a bad gay joke, and I'd do Truman Capote. Instead of being the gay guy, I'd go, here's Truman Capote walking to him. No, and then I was like, then celebrity smoking pot. I don't know how I wrote that bit. My friends would have passed me the joint, and I would just do a celebrity, and I'd end up with doing, I was imitating Curly from Three Stooges. I'm on the ground. Good reefer! My closing bit was Curly on the ground, rolling around, spinning in a circle. And I remember even thinking to myself, as I was doing that bit on stage, I'm going, really? Is this what comedy is? Good night, everybody! And it was those were some fun days, though, really.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to ground myself in this new business, this new frontier, and with my mother, of course, not approving, and when are you going to get something to fall back on? And 30 years later, I'm still falling back on it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's great. I heard that Bruce Springsteen was an influence on your life. How did Bruce influence you?
Well, I was brand new in comedy. I went to a concert. It was Born on the USA tour as of the Spectrum in Philadelphia in 84. And it was like a spiritual experience watching him. I'd never seen anything like it. And I said to myself, that's what I want to do on a comedy stage, is mm-hmm. bring it from the heels every show, right. Tell the truth, reveal myself, and have people walk away going, wow, man, that was the most amazing thing I've seen or been a part of. You're part of his audience, and that's what I try to achieve every night on stage. I don't care if there's two people in the audience. I give everything that I have every single show, and, it's somewhat exhausting, but it's so refreshing and rewarding that it sort of balances itself out. And, Bruce isn't known for his knock-knock jokes or anything. It's not like I'm saying, oh, boy, that guy's got some comedy styling.
Exactly.
But I remember him telling a story about breaking into Graceland when he was younger, and I was so captivated by it, when he was speaking in between his songs, the interstitial stuff, and I said, man, this guy's, that's so interesting to me. And that's, I'm a storyteller, and it's kind of a dying art too, unfortunately.
I agree.
The comics are not telling stories. They walk up with their grocery list and read it off of a pad.
Right.
And think that we're not hip if we're not laughing. I really want to tell the truth up there and be honest about who I am and the failures and the humility that's attached to that, and that's what people relate to. If they have the patience in this tweeting society, I have to get everything in 140 characters.
Right.
And you look who they're following. I'm like hoping for followers. I'm the love master, by the way, on Twitter. Well, other people don't know. So, well, we're just talking you and me, but, Kim Kardashian has like, millions of followers. She has more followers than Jesus had, and I don't even know what she does. I mean, I guess she has something in common with Jesus. He got around on a donkey and she made it on her ass too.
Excellent.
That's all it is. She's got this ass and people are following this ass. And I'm going, are you kidding me? Is that what our world has come to? Oh my, she's shopping at a grocery store and, 3,000 people show up to get a glance. And I'm thinking, I'm up here every night just revealing self and making people laugh, and they're every 5 seconds they're at least chuckling, and you know, it's an art form, and you know, creating and writing and honing and crafting. And
exactly.
This woman has all these followers. It makes no sense to me.
I agree.
But what I found is if you just keep on, you know, staying with that integrity and staying with what you do, eventually, energetically, people will find it, and they'll come see it and appreciate it, and we have that connection. So, anyway, that's the long story on how Bruce was my biggest influence. I still go to see him whenever I can. Actually, he's in town tomorrow. You just reminded me, I got to get tickets.
Great. Yeah, he's fantastic. Hey, you've been in a lot of, you've had some TV and film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you give me some of your memorable moments and anything that you did in TV or film? And I could bring up Farrah Fawcett in The Love Master.
Yeah, she was in The Love Master movie. And
yeah.
She was a blast. I was she was a fan, and she did it for like $100, you know, the movie. I couldn't believe it. You know, the movie's a little autobiographical, and she plays herself, and I go on a date with her, and she only wants to be with The Love Master. And we were rehearsing in the car, and I was practically calling her Miss Fawcett. Oh, thanks for doing my movie, Miss Fawcett. And she goes,
exactly.
I'll be quiet. She said, I just want to know if that Love Master is real. And she reaches over and, and I mean, there's no horn in my crotch. I'm not Carrot Top. I think you get the idea. She grabbed my junk.
Oh, my God.
And I was so nervous, I practically had an innie. I was not ready for my close-up. Yeah, I wasn't thinking of her poster that I played ring toss on the nipples with that bathing suit. And I was so nervous, and I said, and then we did the scene, and we go on this date, and she says, hey, do that Love Master. I said, that's just a character from my act. And she goes, well, good night. And then she, like, shuts the door in my face, and then the doorbell rings, and I'm standing there. That wasn't my hand that rang the doorbell, baby. Oh, yeah. Come on in. So she was a real sweetheart, though, and I just remember a couple things about her. One of them was those hair extensions. I had never seen hair extensions before, and she took so long in makeup, and I didn't know why. And
really?
Turns out they put these extensions in, and I didn't know what they were. They actually sew them into the scalp or into the shorter hair.
Yeah.
And I'm tall, so I'm looking down. I'm going, I see sewing stitches here. That was the weirdest thing. I thought that was all her own flowing hair. And another thing I always remember is she borrowed a 12-year-old's leather pants. I have a picture of her on my lap in these leather pants. They were just so tight. And I thought to myself as she was sitting on my lap, oh, my God, this is like, are you kidding me? I had to pinch myself. To think that this woman's poster I had in my room when I was a kid, and now she's on my lap playing my lover. So it was pretty wild.
Oh, it had to be.
I had a lot of great and unusual experiences in Hollywood. I'll never be used to it.
Oh.
Because I have that in my mind that I'm mm-hmm. little Craig Shoemaker from Philadelphia, you know? And,
yeah.
So,
exactly.
But I have learned, though, that they are not really stars. They're just, they have the same insecurities, if not more, than everyone else.
Yeah, they're just people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And did you worked with Joe Pesci?
I don't know where you got that from, but I didn't work with him, but I know him. And
oh, okay.
He's a really nice guy.
About you and Joe, but maybe not.
He saw me perform, and before we were smoking cigars. It was at a country club, and he turns to me, looks up at me, because he's very short, and he looks up and he goes, I don't like comedians, because I hate them. I hate comedians because my parents, when I was 5 years old, they made me do comedy. I hated it ever since. I hate them for doing that. So I was like, okay. And I go in there, and he's in the front row. And I said to him, oh, this is going to go well. I said, this is not the kind of, you know, vibration you want to get from an audience member is I hate comedians.
Exactly.
And I turned him around. He laughed his ass off, and he became a fan, and he really nice guy. And then I ran into him, I think last year, and I was with my two of my sons, and one 6 at the time. Jared is a huge Home Alone fan. And just imagine you're a kid and you see the guy who's the bad guy. And I didn't think he'd remember me. I was like, hey, Joe, and he goes, hey, it's Craig Shoemaker. He goes, Tony, look who it is. It's Craig Shoemaker. You're a funny prick. You know, so he's like, and he's like, tell me how funny he is. We just saw you on YouTube last night. And I said, hey, Joe, you know, my son's favorite movie is Home Alone. And he breaks into the character. It was just a riot to watch my son's face. He's there. I don't like kids. You know what I do to you? I'm going to take your fingers. I'm going to chew them down to the bone. And then and Jared says, did the shovel hurt when it hit your head? He says, when your head was on fire, what did you do? So he really thinks that it's real, and he thinks this is the real bad guy who's going to chew his fingers down to the bone.
Oh, my
and,
God.
Yeah. My kids have met these people that they, you know, my other son, when he was little, he meets Ray Romano, Mammy the Mammoth, you know, he said, I am Mammy the Mammoth, hello.
Hello.
And he says, my father does that better than you. He's telling the original Mammy the Mammoth that I do a better Mammy than he does. Hi.
That's good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. They met Buzz Lightyear and, you know, Tom Kenny called my son, you know, he's SpongeBob SquarePants, and he calls him. He's in the airport, and I ran into him. I said, hey, can you tuck him to bed? And he calls him up. He goes, hey, hello, Dustin. And he's doing the full, like, I felt bad. He was doing it so long. I was trying to take the phone from him. Okay, that's enough. And he's, like, even, like, karate chopping his throat. He's like, oh, Dustin. Oh. Okay. We're in baggage waiting for our bags. He's karate chopping his neck. And he fully got into it. It was so nice of him. And Justin gets back with the phone. He said, that was SpongeBob. I said, yeah, it is. Now you don't have to imitate. I don't have to imitate him anymore. That's the real deal. Yeah. They have quite the life here. And, you know, meanwhile, when I was a kid, I had the local Sally Starr and Gene London. If I saw them, I'd probably die if right. They were the local TV hosts. But that's about
life.
All I get.
A different life, yes.
Oh yeah.
So okay. I'm gonna ask you this: who inspired the Love Master?
He started because of I was a geek in high school, which okay. I'm imagining you can relate to that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We're all geeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wasn't the big athlete, and all the girls, they would all use the F word with me, you know, friend. I was always the frickin' friend.
Yeah, the F word.
Bandit. And, oh, you know, you're my friend. And I always want to be your friend. And meanwhile, you know, years later, I've never seen these girls ever again. You know, so the friendship didn't last. I could have been sleeping with them. But, or at least let me have a boob. You know, high school, I'm just so horny, but I hadn't hit puberty yet, so I was just this geek, and, women go to the bathroom together, girls go to the bathroom, they have that posse piss. Mm-hmm. They would actually let me go with them. That's what a geek I was.
And oh,
they
my
would,
God.
I'd be sitting on the tub, and they'd talk about these guys, and it was always like a badass that they were talking about. Oh, I have a crush on so-and-so. And they didn't want the F guy, you know, they didn't want the friend. They wanted the badass. So that's when I said, give the geek a chance, baby. The Love Master. I'll be bad all day, baby. Oh, yeah. I'll have you begging like PBS on a pledge drive. That's right, baby. So that's when it all started. And they responded. I've had women that will only sleep with me if I am the Love Master. That's how strange it is.
Oh, yeah. Such a great bit. I love it.
Thank you.
Oh, and one of my other most favorite bits you do, Mayberry on drugs.
Yeah.
Your Don Knotts is amazing. And can you do a little bit of that? You know,
well, I looped him in the movie Pleasantville. He was sick, but he was a TV repairman. And, you know, the first time I ever met him, we were on Entertainment Tonight together, and we had just done Comic Relief, and they posed us next to each other. I said, you know, do dueling Barneys, and I'm there. All right, Andy, you got to nip it in the bud, Andy. And he turns to me, he goes, I'm old now. I can't do that anymore. Look at you. You do me better than me. I ended up in the movie Pleasantville. They called me in because he was sick, so I replaced him. I had to do him as an old guy, the TV repairman. It's, if you listen closely, it's my voice when he circles the apple in the telestrator.
Yeah.
It's me going, boom! What do you call that right there, bud? The forbidden fruit here in Pleasantville. Yeah, I had to match his voice, and then I ran into him at an autograph show once, and he looks up and he sees me, he goes, Craig Shoemaker, it's you again. He goes, do you do my signature too? Here, take a spell here, why don't you sign some autographs for me, and I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he's such a nice guy, and when I met him, we had done this comic relief, and he was really into the fact that I could do all the Mayberry characters, and he's so nice. And someone told me that he's apparently was a real ladies' man, and was really and hung.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah, hung like a gasoline pump, and at the filling station, a goober. Anyway, I have to admit, I'm on a couch. And he's sitting there. And I was like looking at his package. I'm going, I wonder if it's true. I'm going, is that a bleat? I was trying to confirm it.
Oh.
But I didn't get confirmation on that one.
Probably a good thing. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Hey, you want to plug some of your upcoming events, shows, and
Canyon Club in Agoura is coming up, and I got Philadelphia, Sellersville, May 12th, Atlanta, Georgia, the weekend of May 5th at the Punchline, and you just go to CraigShoemaker.com or my Facebook page, press like. Now, the biggest thing that I love doing right now is I have my own live radio show, which turns into a podcast when it's finished. But it's a live radio show from noon to 2. You can do the math on that Pacific time. Every Monday, it's called Laugh It Off with Craig Shoemaker on ToadHopNetwork.com or go to iTunes. And we're really doing some fun stuff. We're interviewing different types of people that are kind of in the consciousness community and the personal power, like Anthony Robbins and things like that. Because it's important to laugh, and we have that as our goal, is to raise the awareness of the power of laughter, what it can do for you, and it's a healing mechanism, and we need more of it in this country.
Craig, I couldn't agree with you more, sir. Couldn't agree with you more. I thank you so much for your time. And
Well, thank you, and let me know when I can hear it. And
I will. We're on iTunes, and when we get the recording, the final edit, I'll send it up to you, the link. And I appreciate your time. And
you got it.
To a fan of yours.
Oh, and, right on. I'll see you on Facebook and Twitter. I'm the Love Master on Twitter and Facebook. Yeah. You press like. And actually, people are listening. Tell me you heard me on Brian's show.
Oh, there you go.
I heard you on there. Never heard of you before. But now I'm going to, and they'll come
now
see a live show.
Listen to the Love Master, I guess.
Yeah, baby. Every guy tries to do it. I'm sure you will be.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brian. I really appreciate it.
You made a friend.
Have a good one.
Wish to thank Craig Shoemaker for his time and conversation. A shout out to the other members of the PA team, Father Brian Kilpatrick, Travis Cassidy, and Jenny Coe, a.k.a. Bony Fingers McGee, our producer. Take care and laugh a little.